I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. Good morning, guys. How are you this month of April? Can you believe it's April already?
Yeah.
I mean, it has been for a while, but still.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Middle of April.
Finally.
Two weeks in here.
Yeah.
But April is not a bad month for getting a home sold.
Well, yeah, it's probably one of the best. I mean, you know, Chris and I, over the course of time, we always try to think of ways to get, you know, consumers a better resale value.
Sure.
And here's what's cool. This time of year, statistically, it's in your favor. Even, you know, like I was saying a couple weeks back, we talked about even the houses that aren't perfect right now, it's still a great time to sell because there is still lower inventory. Interest rates are continuing to look really fantastic. And so there's buyers out there that are willing to forgive a little bit. So if that house isn't exactly perfect, a lot of buyers would like the opportunity to make it their own and make it perfect for them.
Sure. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I'll tell you what, April is also kind of the month that things start changing. I mean, obviously, when you're selling real estate in a climate like we have, it's typically better to see green and blue. That's water and grass for you, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I had to think about that for a moment.
But anyways, it's not quite there yet, but I think people get more excited mm-hmm. at this time. A lot more listings come on, and we're seeing it. It's going to be proven here that you know, people were waiting and waiting to come on, and now they're starting to come on.
It's kind of sad because every time you start talking about lakes, I immediately think about summerizing or de-winterizing all of the pontoons, the jet skis, getting the docks in the water. When is the ice going to go? There's a lot of work that comes with, you know, actually owning Lakeshore too. And I think that for a guy like me, where I'm like, I want to get it done and go,
sure.
So that you can get back to enjoying, I think that there's something to be said for that. And you know, all the years of experience that you've had, Chris, with Lakeshore, I mean, what would you say the percentages of people that now hire that done versus actually would do it themselves?
No clue. I mean, seriously, I have no idea. I think a lot of people like to do that. And I thought the angle that you're going to go at was mm-hmm. This is a time also where, you know, yard work and stuff, when those first nice days kind of come out, it slows down the real estate market, mm-hmm. you know, because people are doing that. And sometimes we always jokingly say, hey, it's not bad to have a nice little drizzle on a Sunday or a Saturday for open houses because they can't do their work. So they're coming out and looking.
That's 100% true. So when you have that open house scheduled, crummy weather is great usually for us, unless it's, you know, really bad. But you're right, Chris.
That's a good point. I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah,
that's true.
And, you know, but thinking about, like, who's doing their work and who's not, I'll tell you what, I'd say on the more recreational lakes, you know, where the price points are higher, you know, they're getting a lot of that done. You see the crews out and about, and they're going. Thane Tandy at Naughty Or Marina.
Yep.
Yeah, it was so interesting watching their marina getting ready. They're cracking ice and keeping it open.
Hmm.
And now they're setting all the boats
like
in.
Like bubblers,
right,
or what do they do?
Yeah. And so all the around the docks, so they can put all the docks back out and then start putting the boats in so they're all ready when people want to go.
I suppose they're not making money unless those boats are floating. So,
exactly.
I think a lot of people, in what I've seen, that people are lucky enough to have a lakeshore home plus a home in the city, have the home in the city stuff done.
Yeah.
There's more yard work crews that I've seen.
We used to feel guilty years ago,
yeah.
Heading up to the cabin, but in leaving the work at the house alone.
Yeah.
Nah, not anymore.
I'm
okay with it.
With today's busy world, too, I think a lot of people are, you know, doing a staycation kind of situation as well. You know, they're selling their house that's off the lake and selling their cabin and getting one on the lake down here. Mm-hmm. And it's a year-round vacation instead. But, I mean, it's still nice to get away, too. I mean,
always.
You got the guys up north, and, I mean, they're busier than heck. And, I mean, those values up there are crazy again.
Yeah, we've sent a couple people up, up north here, that people migrating north, you know, taking their jobs where they're always traveling or commuting anyway, and they're moving up to, you know, Brainerd and Alexandria and enjoying that smaller town feel. But yet, you know, when you say small town, it's really not anymore. Those cities are just massive, and they have
busy.
You know, the 5-star restaurants and great schools. And so it's like, it's just neat to see Minnesota thriving, you know, and more than just the metro area. It's cool.
I think it's also what time of your life is happening. I mean, you and I are both in it right now. Our daughters both play volleyball, and I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they're going to Kentucky, to Wisconsin Dells, to Orlando, and it's kind of like you don't have time to go do that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think as you get older, people are starting to, hey, you know what, let's take some time out and enjoy it. And then trying to find a place that the kids will actually come and hang out with you at.
Yeah.
So
you just got to get a big enough place where they can all bring a friend with them, and then you're good.
That's good.
That's
good
the old rule I've
got. So. Yeah, it's true.
Well, we thought today we were going to do a little, been doing this for about 10 years now.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, with you all the time.
I was 20 then, I think.
I know, exactly. And
you do look great for 30.
So we're going to do a quiz the radio guy. We're going to ask the radio guy, see if he's been listening over
the
years.
Does he know that he was going to be quizzed?
No, he doesn't.
I do not. Uh-oh.
So this is going to be a little, we're going to see it.
Where's Dennis? Hit the drop button.
He's going to know.
The beads of sweat are happening.
But seriously, it's amazing. Kind of like, I mean, all the shows that you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a wide knowledge base. And because I listen to you, Danny.
You're the one.
Yep. And I know. Yeah. And Andy talks so much that we never get to hear you about real estate.
Oh.
So, yeah. So we're going to find out today.
You're close enough. You're in striking distance, sir.
All right. I'm ready. Okay. As ready as I can be.
Okay. Are we going to do a break, or do we want to go right into it?
No, let's talk a little bit.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about the disclosure statement. So there's a real estate transfer disclosure statement that you need to give to the seller or from the seller to the buyer. And one of the clarifications is what's the difference between an easement and an encroachment? Do you know the difference?
I do. An easement is when the guy next door can encroach upon your property or the government.
I mean, how about an encroachment? What encroaches means that something is encroaching on your property.
Getting in my space.
Yeah.
So that might be somebody else's fences on your property.
Okay, that's an encroachment.
Yep. Maybe their landscaping is over on your property. Maybe their driveway has gone over your property.
Fence. I always thought that's an easement.
Fence and sprinklers are probably the number one thing.
I believe that.
Yeah, sprinkler heads.
But an easement, I always see when the city can come up to your yard and start digging holes in.
That's a utility and drainage easement.
Okay.
So under almost all the lots, you've got 5 feet along the sides of your lots, and then 10 feet on the front and the back.
Ah.
And so that's an easement, but there's other easements, and one that we hear a lot about is like a driveway easement.
Yep.
So if you're sharing, let's just say the driveway is on someone else's property and you're sharing that, you have an easement in which to use that. You don't own the land, but you have an easement in which to use that.
Right. Or if you're landlocked, you know, kind of the old flag-shaped lots where they have the long strip on one side and the lot that's in the back for somebody has a double deep lot, and then they sold off the back half, and they have an easement to go through that property to access theirs. And it's required to get that legally to get a building entitlement. The city may have required that easement be granted to allow that.
All right. See, I told you I knew.
Yeah, it was good.
Boom.
All right. Tell you what, let's do this.
So you can study up quick.
I'm going to study a little bit more before the next question comes up. So should we take this break? Guys, hang on. We are in the midst of our real estate show here around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Don't go away. We will be right back. And welcome back to this portion of the real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in the studio. grilling their co-host today. But, you know, before you ask any more questions, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about April being such a good time to list your house. Why? I never did ask you why.
You know, we pulled some stats on that for us because we've had people texting asking us that same question. And statistically, from the National Association of Realtors, it says here that in the month of April, it contributes to 14 times more property views online. You'll see 5% less competition in the marketplace this time of year, and you'll see your house statistically sell 6 days faster than the average sale. So that's why April's
Those
hot.
Are pretty amazing
May's pretty good, too, but April, March, April, May are peak 3 months of selling.
All right.
Yeah, I would say that. And I'll tell you what, I think we've gotten a lot better in the fall, where it used to be earlier on in my career. It was kind of like it kind of shut down.
Yep.
You know, a little before Thanksgiving, probably Halloween.
I wonder if
it would just shut down.
I wonder if April is that good around the country as well as this, you know, the upper Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
It is. It's but obviously with weather, I think like Arizona is like in June is the better sale month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it gets a little later. And then ours in July kind of actually goes down. I mean, that usually is where everyone's taking vacations and doing that kind of stuff. And so it typically goes down at that time, obviously over the winter.
And they were talking, the same group talked about the cyclical sales is the opposite for some of the warmer climates where you have the snowbirds, as we call them here, heading down to the Arizonas and the Floridas. When we're leaving here, when grandma and grandpa head down south, that's when those markets get hot, obviously.
Oh, sure. Makes sense then, too.
Yep.
All right, where do we go from here now?
Well, what would you say the difference is between having covenants on a property and having an association that governs your property?
Yeah, Denny.
No. Well, covenants. What would covenants be?
Well, the association, to me, is you're paying this fee to have your snow cleared up and all of that. That's part of the association, right?
And there's more to it. There's more to the association because there's typically rules and regulations as well.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
And those rules, you know, you can't keep a work truck parked in the driveway.
But that sounds like a covenant too. Like you can't paint your house purple.
So
that's, the association enforces the covenants.
So that's where covenants and association kind of come together.
Connected.
But covenants typically are happening, you know, when it's actually being built. You'll see a lot in some neighborhoods, and you'll start seeing it later on because if the covenants aren't enforced. And it happens a lot with cedar shingles. And so you see this whole neighborhood that has all these cedar shingles.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's a storm and they got to get replaced. And they say, gosh, that's going to probably be twice as much. I'm going to just do a real good architectural shingle.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, those start popping up. And then that people don't enforce the covenants to make them do it the way it was supposed to be.
That sure gets to be a mess, doesn't it?
Does Absolutely. It end, does it end yeah. up going away, those covenants, then?
Yeah, it's
over time.
No. They're not supposed to. But,
they're recorded usually at the county. And the thing is, it's interesting, is that I've seen that happen, too, where new housing developments where the developer is, let's say the city requires that there's an association because of the entryway monument they don't want to maintain for the development. Or let's say that there's, you know, some, I don't know, garbage or something that they want to do. So the city will require that the developer form an association, which is, it's amazing to me how many people immediately will say, I don't want to live there if there's an association, because they just don't want those extra rules, you know, that extra layer overlay, if you will, of rules. I've started seeing verbiage now in these contracts that says that, hey, you can buy into this association. The developer will control the association for the first 2 years. At that point, the homeowners can take over and decide to disband, which is technically not true. I mean, they legally would form it and have everybody's approval and the city's. So that still stays in force. They just would let it go dormant. And so it's almost like a bunch of people agreeing to let it go dormant, which is crazy to me. But anyway, it's.
And that's, I'll tell you what, a lot of people buy into that because they want to be protected. And I mean, and sometimes you think, well, geez, I can't even paint my door red. I want a red door. Well, what they're trying to do is not have pink, purple, orange, and green doors, you know, that make hurt the value of the properties. And that's, I'll tell
you. It's funny, though, for as many people complain, though, too, Chris, there's as many people that also find a lot of comfort within the parameters of an association. They like that they don't have to think about, I mean, think about this for a second. Let's say, you know, you have Chris living next door and he pulls up with his crazy, you know, trailer and he pulls it in his driveway and it's an eyesore and you can't now see the street or you can't see the park across the street. He's blocking your view. And so, you know, you instead of you going over there having to be in the bad cop, you just call the association. The association comes over, reminds Chris that this is only for 2 days at a time, and to keep it moving down the road. You're still the good neighbor, right?
Right.
And you're not in a – and so it actually, I think, preserves relationships and helps – when the rules are there and you operate within the rules, I think you know how to behave, and it just makes it easier as neighbors.
Do you, as real estate agents, see that a lot in neighborhoods, nice neighborhoods, whatever kind of neighborhoods, with an RV and shouldn't be? For long periods of time.
And they typically, that doesn't happen for long periods of time.
Ah.
And the bigger the neighborhood, because they're, hey, this is what it is.
And
a good association will be, you know, will jump on that right away.
Right.
And just get it taken care of. Because then, like Andy said, then there's, the longer it sits and it's kind of like, you know what, that RV came because my kids came up from Iowa and they just want to stay for a weekend. Well, that's just not – they're going to have to park it somewhere else.
Well, or you think of this. So you're an actual – you use that device every weekend. So you pull up there on Thursday night so you can pack it. You know, you pack it all day Friday, and then all of a sudden you take off Friday night. You go for the weekend. You come home on Sunday night late. It's too late to clean everything out, so you wait till Monday to clean it out. Well, you're like, well, gosh, I'm going to have it back here Thursday night anyway. Yeah. So then people just start leaving it. And then that's that summer cycle that happens where people actually start, you know, getting – upset, and they're like, so for 2 days you guys actually want me to just haul this down the road and then haul it right back? And most people say yes, that's exactly what we want you to do.
Okay, but, anyway. We have time for another question if you want to shoot me one.
All right, does a seller have to state whether or not they got permits on the work they performed on the property?
Yes,
in a disclosure statement.
Yeah.
And
what if they don't get a permit for work that requires a permit?
Well, if that comes time to sell, and there's an issue with let's say with electric, mm-hmm. you have a problem. The seller has then a problem.
Typically, yeah. I mean, so what has to happen on the disclosure statement is that you do need to tell them, hey, that I did get permits or I didn't get permits.
You have to tell them either way.
Yeah. And then what work you didn't get for permits? And I'll tell you what, Denny. How many listings do you think? How many basements do you think are done without permits?
In the North Metro, I bet it's over 50%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Without a permit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
because
people have that immediate, you know, it's us against them mentality.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay for the permit and my taxes are going to go up. And what they don't realize is the huge amount of liability they're putting on themselves and their family. I mean, when you don't disclose that stuff, I mean, and let's say the house burns down, I mean, there's a liability issue there, you know?
Absolutely.
And sometimes insurance companies won't cover that. So you, what I always say is this, just read the rules and then you make the decision. If you want to make the decision to buck the system and not do, you know, the conforming, you know, let's follow the rules, that's fine. But just when you go to sell that house, make sure that you have good pictures documenting everything you did so that if anybody objects to what you've done, they can see. Right behind the walls, because a lot of times those cities, when they or the insurance, let's say they can't get an insurance binder because of it, and the insurance company might require the city to come out and inspect, for an example, just to get the permit closed.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've seen it happen.
Yep. All right.
Well, I tell you what, let's take this break. We'll be back with more on the other side after the break. Stay with us around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. This is the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in the studio. Again, we're here every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. Hope you will join us from time to time when you can. We're in the month of April, and we're talking about, well, they're actually quizzing me.
Yep.
Do we have more questions? I was
waiting for you to ask what the prizes were.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Maybe
should have brought cupcakes or something.
Yeah, maybe some parting gifts when we're done here.
We got lots of questions. We could have questions throughout the rest of the year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, I do listen, you know.
I know you do. You're doing really good. You know, on that permit, we were talking about permits at the end and that if you have to get them or not. And then some people don't. Andy, we've seen, you know, when that happens. I mean, people, the big thing is disclose that you don't have permits, you know, mm-hmm. because there's two things with that. Number one, typically then if you didn't get a permit, the county probably doesn't know about it. So there's the thing called the valuation exclusion. So if they don't know the basement's finished, and if they would have, maybe the price would have been higher.
Right.
Maybe someone bought the house for higher, so their taxes might go up. So that's one part about disclosing it. But, you know, what Andy was talking about is, like, the safety of it. And but typically what happens is that if that happens, the inspectors just look really close.
Sure.
And then some people say, hey, you know what? I want the city to come and look at that.
Well, in most of cases I've, you know, been involved with where, you know, hey, my buddy's an electrician, my other buddy's an HVAC contractor. So they're doing it.
It's usually done right.
At or even better than code, because sometimes they're doing their buddy a favor and they're even doing beyond what would be required. That's why I say document that. Because, again, even if you're doing beyond what's required, I mean, if nobody understands or appreciates what you're doing, how do they put a value on that? So you do want to make sure, again, to well document. And my biggest phrase, anybody that's ever done business with me, when in doubt, disclose it out. Always disclose, because people are making a buying decision based on that disclosure statement. And I'm telling you, you could put on there five horrible things that have happened to that house. As long as they have a remedy and a solution, or there's a, you know, an amicable, you know, negotiation point there, people can get through it. It's when you don't disclose it that you're just asking for trouble. I mean, people just are like the aha moment that I caught you, and you know it gets messy.
I always say that too. I think it's one thing about getting your home sold. It's another thing about keeping the people away from you after the fact.
Yep.
Because once it's sold, you have no more leverage. You always have leverage up until the day it's sold. You don't have to sell it to them.
Right.
You know, and you can refuse to sell it. But once it's sold, now they're in control.
Yeah.
You know, and then they can come back after you and stuff. And so, well, and that disclosure statement is what the courts and arbitration always go to.
We had, this was years ago, statute of limitations or whatever. I don't know. But one of our clients years ago got, they had an offer on a property. They'd been for sale for a while. We were the second group to come in and market the property. The property gets sold, and it was, in the opinion of the spouse, too low. Okay. They felt like they were giving the house away. So they had extensive gardening done on this home. And so there was like just an amazing amount of the plants that come back every year and flower. What are those, annuals or perennials?
Perennials.
Thank you. And they were coming back. And anyway, so the missus got upset, went out and removed a bunch of the bulbs.
No.
And basically removed everything. To the point of where when the spring came and these people were looking at the pictures from the previous year, they looked at their garden and said, wait a minute, what's wrong here? And, you know, came back to where they had a professional gardener come out there, analyzed that, you know, more than half of the bulbs were removed from this area and thinned out. And we got in a situation where a gardener came out and the estimate was $12,000 to fix this. And they ended up settling on $6,000.
I did.
And yes, and this was all out of spite. The sad thing about it was the other spouse did not know the other one was doing it. So this was like a shock to both of them. It was a mess.
Even worse.
Yes. I mean, even doing something as simple as I'm just going to pull some of these bulbs out of the garden or thin out the hosta or do whatever without permission and disclosure, you're exposing yourself to risk.
Now,
absolutely.
Have you guys ever seen, you've seen everything in real estate, I'm sure, but as far as disclosure, somebody doing, let's just go back to an electrical job, and they didn't pull a permit, they did the job, and there was a short a year or two later, and there was a fire. Mm. I'm just building this up.
Right.
Have you ever seen something like that, that there was some kind of a tragedy like that?
Thank God I've never been involved in it, but there was a... up in St. Cloud, that happened, and they talked about a furnace and that it was doing carbon monoxide. It killed someone, you know, and they found out that it wasn't disclosed, and the child died. And I can't remember what all happened on that deal, but I thought they were prosecuted. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
there's definitely liability.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We've had windows pop out of our garage with a garage furnace that was not supposed to be there. It was an interior furnace. And they put it outside where it's sucking air in from the garage, and there's combustible air that was there because of other items in the garage. And so the idea there is that I'm not going to throw this old furnace away. A lot of times people will say, I'll just throw it out in the garage. Well, the problem with that is that the air that's in your garage can blow up if let's say it's fumes or has whatever, right? And we actually had that happen where these two, the one seller said, oh, yeah, it's an old furnace. It runs great. I've used it for years. Well, the new buyer came in and had a new purpose for that garage where there was some combustible stuff being varnished, and they had a whoosh, and all the windows went out of the garage.
Wow. Yeah.
Ugh,
what a story.
Scary.
Yeah.
Lucky it didn't blow up.
But that's, you know, when we're talking about disclosure statements, it's so much better to over-disclose and disclose everything. And then people say, oh, no, that'll hurt the sale of my house. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to keep you out of trouble later. It's probably going to cost you a lot more later. And people justify people justify that. I mean, a foundation that's kind of cracked or going down in an area, they'll just say, you know, it's an older one, and they'll say, you know, gosh, I mean, that was 50 years ago. It's not moving anywhere.
Right.
You know, they start justifying it. But if all of a sudden, if they find it, like on the inspection, the whole house is falling down.
Right.
So if you let them know ahead of time, you know, it usually calms that down. Well, and typically
so, stop. Chris, what's your opinion on this? When you have, let's say it's an older seller, and they just honestly forgot until all of a sudden something happens. And they go, oh, my gosh, that's right. I forgot that back in 68 I had this happen to the house. I just forgot.
That can happen.
Honest, it has happened. So what do you think about that? I mean, what about if
they forgot? I mean, they're going to have to prove that they knew it and they willfully did it. I mean, and try to not disclose it to
them. Wouldn't you say
it's pretty hard to remember for 60 years.
I get it. 50 and so years. And so now, Alison, you look back and you as a buyer's agent helping that person buy that house. How do you approach that? So, I mean, you know, now, obviously, it was an honest mistake, and it was an oversight on their part. And to be honest with you, it hasn't had a problem since 68 or whatever it was. It obviously is a new reoccurring problem, or the new item that they put in then has now failed again. But it's you know what I'm saying? It's like there's that issue, that challenge that we have.
I think you educate your buyers and let them know that you're not buying a brand new house. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's this 50-year-old house. I mean, things happened to it. And I think that's the other thing that people don't, you know, when they're filling out disclosures, houses, I mean, they age and things happen to them. And if all of a sudden, if you have a completely clean disclosure statement and it's 22 years old, everyone's going to be looking at it like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
Well, and think about this, Danny, too. If you were buying a house and you're the original owner and you've owned it for how many years versus this house has been bought and sold 30 times.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Somebody else must have had that problem before us. So it kind of passes the buck. You know what I mean?
Right. Kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on, guys. We have to take a break. We have more show to come. This is the Real Estate Show on this Saturday morning. We're around every Saturday on the 10 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We will be right back. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Around every Saturday here in the 10 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us, Chris and Andy. In studio. All right, where do we go from here? We were quizzing. It was a Q&A a day today. What are we going
to
do?
We're going to get back to that quiz.
Yeah, we're going back to the rap. Now we're going back to rapid fire.
Oh, okay. Oh
yep.
Rapid fire.
Is everybody ready?
A lightning round.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Do you have to test for radon from a seller?
No.
No. Very good.
Way to go.
Very good. What if you do test for radon as a seller? What do you have to do?
Disclose it.
Very good. What if someone died of a suicide in the home? Do you have to disclose that?
I have a nervous twitch. Yeah, I think I remember one of the shows that you guys did that you said that, which surprised me that you don't have to. I always thought you would have.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to.
No. I think he just passed Minnesota Station of Realtors
whatever you
bar
said.
Exam or whatever it is. Or...
How about paranormal activity? As in ghosts,
no.
You have to disclose that.
No,
you don't have to disclose that.
No.
How about a murder?
Ooh. I would think the same thing. You don't have to.
You do.
You do have to disclose
you
a
do.
Murder
if
you
it's
do.
A crime.
Oh.
You have to describe. Yeah, you have to let them know.
Okay.
What if somebody dies, Chris, of Danny? You know the answer of natural causes.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Correct.
What if someone had the HIV? Disease.
That's personal medical.
You don't have to disclose
don't
that.
Have to. No,
you don't have to disclose that either. What about if you buried someone on the property?
Boy.
And that's not a request. That's a...
You guys heard about that?
Yeah. What'd no, you hear? Who I told mean, you
that,
what?
No, yeah. Has that happened? I suppose it has.
People. Hey, I mean, the old
for
days,
years.
People, yeah.
Yeah, what no, are you going
to
do?
There are some that give easements to go to the grave.
No kidding.
And I've done this up in northern Minnesota here, just on the edge of the Twin Cities, where we were walking down by the river, and this is where mom and dad are. And I thought he was kidding me. And nope, that's exactly where they're – this was way back.
But do you have to disclose it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times, actually, that in that situation, the county required us to move them.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite interesting. How about animal or pest infestation? That one's an easy one.
Like rodents?
Yep.
I would think
mice.
I would think you would have to.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You do have to all do right. that. How about like on your property if there's a diseased tree that you know of?
Well, I suppose, you know, given the what's happened in the years past, you know, the borers,
like
yeah, you'd have to.
Yep. You got to disclose that as well.
How'd I do so far?
You're doing
really good. Yeah. Really good.
About 80%, maybe.
Yep.
You could be a broker.
That's next.
You know, there's a lot of
look out.
I think if Rooney can do it, anybody can do it, right? No offense.
Are you sure? You meant Rooney or Kraske?
I'm not a broker.
Yeah, that's true.
Intentionally.
That's true.
No, you got another one?
No, he screwed me up. No.
Sorry, brother.
I don't know what I was going to say now.
Now
you got to talk.
Well, I'd like to talk about all my listings and the. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I think that, you know, when it comes down to disclosures, I think the big thing is, again, we revisit this because I think this is the common, most brought up issue with real estate agents that list properties where it comes back to haunt them. And so this is something that is, you know, with our clients is we guide them as best we can, and things happen. And this is what I would say to you. When you take a reasonable approach to anything and you're fair and you say, yes, I forgot that, I'm willing to pay for it or whatever, most buyers want to live in that house and love it. And they just want to feel like they got bamboozled. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So if you're willing to pay for or help out with, or maybe it's an insurance claim and you're willing to pay the deductible or whatever it is, you know, so that they can come to a resolution they're satisfied with, I think that's the key thing. It's when you ignore it and let it fester that things get blown out of proportion and people get angry.
You know, I want to ask you, going back a little bit about real estate agents. You guys are pros. You've been in the business a long time, both of you. What about the newcomers? What have the rules changed as far as testing? Is that still about the same? And do you guys have to go back and get tested?
Mm.
We have certain education requirements every year.
Every year,
That we have to keep up 15 hours. But to be a new agent, you have to do 90 hours of class time, take a state and federal test, and then get 30 more hours in that first year. Then every year after that, it's 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and they word those questions on those tests backwards so that it confuses you.
No kidding.
Oh, I tell you, I sat there and I went through for a new agent that was, you know, we were reviewing some of that. I was helping them study for the test, and I was like, I don't know if I can, I know the answer to this, but the way the question was asked, it was tricky. It was like, you know.
A lot of people miss one or the other.
Yeah.
And they have to retake it again. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe the test, I passed it pretty fast.
How long do you have to wait before you take it again? Is there a 30 days?
They got time to be able to go in and stuff like that. No, you could do it the next week.
Oh, okay.
If you can get in.
As long as you meet the requirements, yeah.
So, Denny, the disclosure statement is a big page, asks all these questions and puts them on there. But what if you felt there was something that wasn't on that page that you thought maybe a material defect that you thought that wasn't covered on there? Do you have to disclose that? It didn't ask you for it, but do you have to do that?
So you're the seller?
You're the seller. You are.
And
you know something that just don't like. And it might be
the neighbor across the street lets off fireworks every night.
That could be.
Well, what did you say a couple of times during the show? Just put more rather than less on the disclosure statement. Yeah.
It depends what a material defect is to you.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question, though.
But if you're moving, well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If Denny is moving because of that neighbor across the street shooting fireworks at his house and they get kind of through into the screen sometimes, and he's replaced them 50 times.
We were aiming above the house.
Oh, okay. Darn it. Was that your van? Down by the river. But anyways, it's kind of one of those things that, I mean, they're obviously going to find that out later on.
Yeah.
And if you held that from them, it's probably going to cost you more later on.
I agree.
What would that then buyer who a year or so down the road after the fireworks happened, what can that person do? Would they go back to his or her real estate agent or the seller's real estate agent?
Typically, the client, whoever complaining, goes to their agent, and that agent comes to the other agent.
Okay.
And then that's how it starts. And there's two ways in which to solve a problem. Obviously, there's court, and then there's a thing called arbitration that we agreed to whether or not we do it at the beginning. So when we sign a purchase agreement, on that purchase agreement, we state, hey, if there is a problem, how are we going to solve it?
Right.
And if everyone agrees to arbitration, that's the route we go.
Well, I'm going to disclose that we're out of time.
Okay.
So let's join.
We got more things to say.
Successful. I think we're successful.
Let's do it again next week. How do we get in touch with each of you now?
You go to chrisrooney.com for me.
Prasky.com or send me an email at andy@prasky.com and ask for the nosy neighbor report that we get free.
Yeah, that's great.
Every time we mention that, we get about five people that will sign up for it, and that's where we send you the report, show you what things are selling for in your neighborhood for free. Nobody bugs
you. It's good information. It's great information.
Yeah, no hassle.
All right, thank you, guys. We'll see you 1 week from today. Very good. Thanks so much, Chris and Andy. We'll be back next Saturday morning in the 10 o'clock hour for more real estate talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
And the guy just gave me a brand new way to contact them. Guys, is this right? AndyandRooney.com. A-N-D-Y. All one word. AndyandRooney.com. It goes to the website for the show, for podcasts, guest info, open houses, things like that. AndyandRooney.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.